The Gist. My health update. Push, crash, rebound. Something came up which caused me to push hard. I crashed even harder, and now I am rebounding. The Stimulate ICP project was the UK government's big attempt to understand and treat long COVID. Its centerpiece was a large trial, 200 people per treatment arm, that assessed the effectiveness of three drugs: an anticoagulant, rivaroxaban, an anti-inflammatory, colchicine, and two mast cell drugs, famotidine plus loratadine. The drugs were chosen because they were relatively inexpensive and readily available, and could, if successful, be easily slotted into the UK's healthcare system. The choice of colchicine, which is used in pericarditis, not something seen in ME/CFS, was perhaps a questionable choice, but the other two drugs were wholly in line with what we knew about long COVID in 2021. All three drugs and drug combos failed to produce clinically significant results, and the anticoagulant produced negative results. The main takeaway from the trial was that none of these drugs could be recommended to the long COVID patient population at large. The trial, however, was flawed in several ways. There were no placebo controls, the main endpoints focused only on fatigue and general health, and had not been designed with diseases like ME/CFS or long COVID in mind. The symptom assessments were crude, and no attempt was made to target the appropriate patients for each treatment. The way the study was designed made it impossible for the authors to determine if subsets within long COVID responded to each treatment, a crucial need for this very heterogeneous disease. In the end, it was a poor return on investment for what was probably quite an expensive study. Note, though, that the study analysis is not over, and the authors stated that they are trying to identify subgroups and describe phenotypical and or biochemical characteristics. Let's hope so. In the end, both this trial, the Stimulate ICP, and a further early round of long COVID funding from the UK government look very similar to the NIH's RECOVER project. All three of these funding opportunities have been plagued by an innate conservatism which has not served the long COVID patient population well. Perhaps not surprisingly, an assessment of the principal study producers found that, like the RECOVER project, most of them came not from the ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and POTS fields, but from cardiology, respiratory medicine, infectious disease, clinical trial management, etc. The rest of the $9 million US Stimulate ICP project ended up focusing almost entirely on demographic, epidemiological, health access, EHF risk factor analysis, and, except for one early study, spent no money on understanding long COVID pathophysiology. Of the 15 studies funded by the other major UK long COVID funding opportunity in 2021, only four, T-cell, two immune, and a long MRI, dug into long COVID biology. Some shades of the CBT era crept in the brain fog study, which was intended to, quote, develop and test neuropsychological rehabilitation, end quote. A personalized self-management support study, a weight management program, how patients and families manage long COVID, and adaptive pacing. In its two major long COVID funding opportunities, the UK health system essentially punted on trying to understand long COVID pathophysiology. There is some good news. Last year, the UK opened a post-infectious grant opportunity to assess treatments in long COVID and ME/CFS, and this time, it specified that the treatment trials had to be targeted and flexible, efficiently assess multiple targets, and look for mechanisms driving the diseases. The bad news is that it may take several years to develop the platform the treatment trials will use, and the funding for actual trials is assumed but not present yet. In the worst case, it may take until 2028 to get the trials started. Once started, though, they should be vastly superior to the present effort. This trial's failure was not unexpected. of the 14 largish long COVID trials that have been completed, only two, fluvoxamine and behavioral interventions, have produced at most modest successes. The behavioral intervention trial will be covered in a future blog. To date, most of the treatment candidates, metformin, ivabradine, transcranial magnetic stimulation, Paxlovid, computerized games, cognitive retraining, have not been particularly exciting. Two targeted treatments, donepezil, HHV6, tamelimab, HERVEW, failed, and we're awaiting word on the results of Recover's IVIG and stimulant trials. An IVIG trial that uncovers a highly responsive subset would be a big deal. The field is learning. Clinical trials are increasingly assessing the biological response to the drugs, attempting to biologically target patient subgroups, and employing smarter platform trials that use fewer resources and allow more treatments to be assessed at once. The next set of results will hopefully be better. Baricitinib, anti-inflammatory JAK inhibitors, Maraviroc plus avoristatin, HBOT, a triple antiviral, two GLP-1 agonist trials, rapamycin, stellate ganglion block, long COVID LDN, Jared Younger's smaller but more comprehensive MECFS LDN trial, and the OMF's LIFT pyridostigmine LDN trial are some large or largest trials underway or getting underway. Of course, more small trials are underway as well. Coming up, a talk with Jerry Younger. Support Health Rising and keep the information flowing. Maybe a bit slower right now, though. At this point in the text version of the gist, you will encounter a link where you could choose to give one time or set up a monthly donation. Thanks for listening.